Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Let's give the Lord a real hand of praise with the second Lord's Supper experience in our ministry today. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you now for this preaching time, for speaking to us. Challenge us right out of your word, Lord, and let your spirit meet us where we are spiritually, and then minister to us on that level, and then lift us to where you would have us to be. Lord, tailor the text that we're teaching today so that every hearer's heart may hear and comprehend what your message is to each one of us. Lord, we thank you in advance for what you shall do because of your word, your spirit, and your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, familiar story. Just want to lift out a few verses for your reading and hearing. Genesis chapter 22, beginning at verse 6, it says, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. I want to talk about the test of a father for just a few moments here. The test of a father. This test is a very significant test, a very monumental test of this father because of the historic connection as it relates to all mankind in this story with Abraham and Isaac. One of the things that you're going to realize is that Abraham, being a man of faith, has received a promise from the Lord that God would make him the father of many nations, that he would have offspring greater than the stars in the heaven and the sands of the seashore. And at the time he makes the promise, Abraham is an old man, Sarah is an old woman, and they naturally do not have the ability to reproduce. God makes a promise in an impossible situation to man to see and to test the faith of those he promised to. One of the things that you've got to always remember is if God makes the promise, he knows everything connected with the situation. The problem wasn't with God making a promise to an impossible situation. The problem was that he didn't show up soon enough. And when he didn't show up soon enough, they began to doubt that God meant it like he said it. And so oftentimes, my brothers and sisters, we find ourselves in the same predicament. God has promised us something, and because God has promised it, we think that it ought to happen right now. We think that it ought to happen today. If it delays any time, we think that the devil has gotten in and has destroyed the promise of God. I need you to know the devil doesn't have that much power. The delay, listen at this, is not because of the devil, but it is because of God seeing that you are not fully developed for him to produce what he said he was going to do. So the delay is for you to become developed and defined into what he wants you to be when he produces what he promised. Now, Abraham, now again, and you know the story, he and Sarah helps the Lord. And they have a child whose name is Ishmael. Ishmael comes about 14 years later. It is assumed in this time that God tells Abraham and Sarah what he's going to do. Now, after they have Ishmael, the promise that God made originally now comes to fruition. The wife that he said was going to be the one who would bear the son of promise, whose name was Sarah and not Hagar, is now having the fullness of the promise made. Now, God says, in essence, since you disobeyed me the first time, and you thought I needed your help, and you put your hands in it, and you tried to do what I did not ask you to do. All I asked you to do was believe that I was going to make you what I said I was going to make you. I told you who was your partner that I would make it with, but I'm going to try you now. Now, look at what he says, because here, Isaac was the son of promise. He was the one that God said was going to be his natural offspring to follow suit in the line of that God had promised. But listen at this. God does not take his first child, Ishmael, and tells him to put him on this altar. He takes the child of promise, the one who has to follow the lineage that God has orchestrated so that even the flow would flow even down, so that in Jesus's fullness of time, you would see the reality of what God has done and how faithful God is. And yet God challenges Abraham to take his son, his only son, Isaac. Again, why does God say his only son when Ishmael, his oldest son, is still alive? It is again because God honors what is honorable. And what is honorable is his word. Now God will help us in our mess ups and our mistakes, but it never ever takes priority or precedence over what he promised. Are you listening to me here today? So listen at this as you come into the opening of this chapter, verse 1 of the 22nd chapter. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, the only one of promise, the only one I'm acknowledging that will follow you. And listen to what he says, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Offer him there. Listen at what he wants him to do. He wants him to make him, Isaac, a burnt offering. Now, you know, it's one thing for God to give you something, and it's another thing for him to take it back from you. And it's inconsistent with his manner, because God is not an Indian giver. God doesn't give you stuff and take it back from you. You can throw it away. You can kick it to the curb. You can decide you're not going to do the right thing. But God doesn't take it from you. So now Isaac is the burnt sacrifice to be. And he doesn't know it, but his daddy does. And so they start on that journey. Look at verse 3. And Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Now look at Abraham's faith as he has recognized God has already told him, one, Isaac is your child of promise. Two, you intervened and did what you wanted to do and created a problem. Now I'm telling you to take your son of promise, and now I'm going to create a problem for you because I want you to burn him up on the altar. Now listen to this now, because it was his faithfulness to God first that put him in position to become the father of faith. Now God can't just let him in his mess up just assume the role and responsibility of father of many nations and not redeem himself in terms of faith when it was his faith that slipped that caused the mess up in the first place. He couldn't wait on God because things didn't look like they ought to have looked. I said earlier, the problem here is that when God made him the promise, the things didn't look like they ought to have looked. They were already too old in the first place. They already couldn't do it on their own in the first place. So what you got problems waiting for when God already met you in your mess up? He met you in your shortage. He met you where you were incapable of doing what you wanted to do anyway. And so now, because he couldn't wait and be faithful there, God says, the word tempt here is test you. Because I need you to know every level, you've got to go through new tests. And on every level, you're going to meet new devils. And what you don't understand is, if you think it's hard here, wait till you get up there. But here's the problem. If you can't make it down here, it's going to be harder to make it up there. And so now God is tempting or testing him according to the word. And so now look at his faith starts to build up in him. Now he's got 3 days since he's heard this. He's already started on his journey. He's thinking all the way up to the mount where God would lead him to, what am I going to do now? The son that God gave me that would follow me, God tells me now to offer him as a burnt offering. I got news for you. Burnt offerings don't get up off the altar. Somebody didn't catch that. Burnt offerings don't get up off the altar. When they are burnt, they are consumed and they are no more. Abraham is thinking about this. God, somewhere down in his spirit, somewhere down deep in his soul, he begins to think of the faithfulness of God. He can't help but think of his faults, but overriding his faults is the faithfulness of God. Matter of fact, as he thinks about this thing, he begins to realize, I didn't make myself the promise.
That's right.
God made me the promise. Matter of fact, God knew what I was when he called me. When he decided to name me what he named me, even when there was no natural possibility of that being a reality. And so look at what he says in the 5th verse. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, he's making clear, first of all, this is a one-on-one affair here, he and his son. These other men could not enter into this place where this temptation had or testing was to take place. And here he tells them to stay at the bottom of the mountain with the ass. And my son and I, look at what he says, are going to the mountaintop to worship. We, Abraham and Isaac. And we, Isaac and Abraham, are coming back down the mountain. Now, listen, he spoke faith-filled words in what seemed to be an impossible situation. But somewhere in his psyche, he's saying, I missed it one time. I ain't going to miss it again. I believe that God said what he meant, and he meant what he said. He's proven to me he is faithful. So I'm going to believe that my son and I don't know how it's going to happen. It ain't up to me to work it out. I just know that when I come down from worshiping, I could say a word about worship here, but I just think I want to throw that out parenthetically to hold on. In the midst of what seems to be impossible, in the midst of what seems to be unworkable, in the midst of what seems like would never work out, you need to learn how to worship God.
Because when you learn how to worship God, you're saying, God, in spite of what I see, in spite of what's before me, I know what you told me, and I'm going to worship you anyhow. Listen at this now. Listen at this. Verse 6 says, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Now, he does not leave out any of the steps to the process, because he's going to obey God. He's going to be faithful. He doesn't know how God's going to do this thing, but all he does know is when it's all said and done, he and Isaac are coming back down the mountain. So listen at this now. He's not going to disobey God. He did that once before. But he knows the God that he serves is big enough to do stuff he's never heard of before. So look at verse 7 now. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. Now could you imagine young Isaac looking up with his eyes into his father's eyes and saying to him, my father. I would only imagine, because I have a son, and if he in this situation were to say the same thing, and I know, listen, he doesn't burden Isaac with the problem, because he know that it's up to him to do the right thing to ensure that Isaac will continue on. He says, listen at this, my father, Isaac is speaking, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Now it is clear and apparent that Abraham has either shown Isaac, or Isaac has been in the presence of many sacrifices. He know the procedure. He understands you can't have a sacrifice without an animal or something to sacrifice. He says, God, listen, Father, rather, I don't see what I need to see. I see all the stuff, but I don't see the sacrifice. And the answer that Abraham comes up with comes out of faith. I want to say this to fathers. Fathers, when you don't know how it's going to work out, when you don't have no idea how God's going to do it, you need to speak a truth that is evident, not only in this day and time, but throughout all time. God will provide himself a sacrifice. In other words, God will do what nobody else can do. And when you know he can do what nobody else can do, you say, God, I know you can fix it. And when you know God can fix it, when you cannot fix it, you just lean on the one who has fixed it before, who's fixing it now, and who will fix it in the future. Look at this word again. I want you to see this. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of Abraham, built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Do you think at this time Isaac realized who the sacrifice is now? Do you notice there is no response recorded? There is no objection recorded. Isaac does not in any way fight against what his father is doing, because he trusts his father. And his trust is so implicit that he literally, without a struggle, submits to what his father does. Look at what the Bible says again. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him, picked him up and put him on the altar. Verse 10 says, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to do what? To slay his son. Now I want you to see this picture of faithfulness that Abraham has to his heavenly father.
Yes.
And I want you to see how his son, Isaac, is still not arguing, he's still not wrestling, he's still not fighting, he's still surrendered to the fact that his father has yielded him as the sacrifice. And you know, I got to say this because I want you to know the father or the faith of the father usually flows to the son. When Isaac saw that Abraham wasn't troubled. Some of y'all gonna catch this sooner or later. Isaac didn't have no problem. You would think that, that would be much problems going on right about now. But Isaac is bound and laying on the altar just looking at his daddy. His daddy now having him bound now takes the knife and lifts the knife up. Isaac just laying there looking. The faith he has in his father is so awesome that it says and it speaks of the kind of relationship they had before this point. And for God to sever this relationship, separate them for life, this was something unfathomable. But even so, Abraham obeyed God. Look at what the Bible says, verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Verse 12 says, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Now look at this. God's test was so intense that he didn't say, take your firstborn. He says, take your son of promise. Because Abraham could have had 10 more sons, 100 more sons, but they none would have been the son of promise. If God had have taken Isaac, the promise would have been ended right there, because his seed was where the promise began. If he would have cut off the seed, it wouldn't have been no flow. If it wouldn't have been no flow, we would have been no more. Somebody's not hearing me here. If God would have done that, then he made no other restitution for this situation, because it was all about testing the faith of the father. Fathers, what I'm trying to say to many of us is that God expects us to stand up and do what's right, even when the child doesn't understand. Fathers, we've got to set the standard, we've got to set the stage, we've got to set the structure, and God is expecting us to do it and obey him. Listen at this. God was testing him, and the word says it was only after he was ready to take his own son's life that God stopped him right before he was coming in the downward motion, because here's what God already knew, that Abraham would have killed Isaac on that altar because he refused to disappoint and let God down one more time. So because God saw it, listen at this, he didn't have to let it go through. In God's book, it had already been done. Faith is a powerful medium. Listen at what the angel says. Listen at what the angel says. The angel said unto him in verse 12, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Now, when he knew this was it, he knew that he was faithful enough, he was going through with it, he said, in your heart, you've already done it. You have already obeyed me to the point that Isaac would be dead if I would not have stopped you. God was not concerned about the motions. He was concerned about the reality of his faithfulness. And so he was going through the motions, but he knew it was more than motions with Abraham, that Abraham's faith was so connected to God that as much as he loved his son, he loved God more. And the same God he loved who gave him that son was going to work the miracle out, because when he spoke words of faith coming up the mountain, he had no idea how God was going to work it on top of the mountain. But all he knew was when it was all said and done, he and that same son that went up the mountain was coming back down that mountain together. Fathers, we got to learn how to speak those things that be not as though they were. We've got to learn how to take charge of the situation. We've got to learn how to speak what is in our spirit and in our heart according to the word of God. Remember, he's the father of faith. So what do you do when you're the father of faith? You speak faith-filled words. You speak stuff that ain't been spoken before. You begin to lay a foundation for how this thing is going to be. If God gave him that blessing, gave him that privilege, then he had the privilege to say what he knew he could say because he had been given the authority to say it, and then believe what he said was going to come to pass. Listen at this, and I want you to see this. Verse 13 said, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son." I point out parenthetically again for all of those who know the story and understand how this was a typification of Christ. Verse 8 says, "And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide himself a lamb.'" But in verse 13, Abraham finds a ram. Abraham didn't understand. God is saying, "You know what? You know what, Abraham? I'm going to put you in my position. I'm going to give you a preview of what is to come some thousands of years. You don't know what it is to sacrifice your only son, but I'm going to give you a taste of what it would be like if you did kill Isaac. But I'm not going to let you kill him, because thousands of years later, I'm going to be in your position having to see my own son sacrificed as the lamb who would take away the sins of the world. But I just want to let you see, I want to give you a little run through so you can get, you're the father of faith. You are going to be the beginning of many nations who will come into this promise. So I just want you to feel what it's going to feel like without you actually having to go through it." And when he was getting ready to kill Isaac, everything that was in him felt everything that he would have felt had it actually happened. And God said, "Now you know what it feels like to sacrifice your only begotten son, the son of promise. But the only difference here is that the ram would die and be dead forever, but the lamb would die and be raised 3 days later." Oh, I wish I had somebody here. "And yet the ram was for a temporary fix, but the lamb was a permanent fix to a situation that God had promised since the beginning." And so because God is holy and because God is righteous, he had to have some sacrifice. And so God causes a ram, not a billy goat. A ram, not a donkey. A ram. To go, I mean, a big powerful ram who's used to charging with his head and use. How does a powerful ram get caught up in weeds? When God orders the weeds to hold the ram. I wish I had a witness here. It just seems impractical and almost to the point of impossible that any thicket, any working or intertwining of weeds could hold a powerful ram. But listen at this. The weeds had a job to hold them long enough till Abraham could spot him. I wish I had somebody. If he had time, he probably would have worked the thing out, but he was only there to haul him for a little while. And when Abraham saw him, he took the knife and grabbed the ram, got some help, and threw him upon the altar. And that became the temporary sacrifice to pay for the sins, the shortcomings of Abraham before God, because the burnt offering was required. My brothers and sisters, what a faithful father now. But a faithful father doesn't mean a perfect father. Oh, I wish I had a witness here. And sometimes you've got to understand that you rise and sometimes you fall. But the Bible says a good man will fall 7 times, but he ain't going to stay down there. He's going to get up. So faithfulness doesn't mean that you're perfect. All right, all right. But it does mean that you're working toward perfection. And when Abraham saw